A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld, or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, it is not enough for you to weary people. Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory.
Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory.
The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
You can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place, on whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God, his Savior. Such is the race that seeks him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
A reading from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The gospel about his son descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith. For the sake of his name, among all Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
shall name him Emmanuel.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Lord,
this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Up to this time of Advent, we have heard the perspectives of the great mystery of the Incarnation, which is the reality of the eternal Word of God taking on flesh. We've heard it from the perspective of the Blessed Virgin Mary through the Gospel of St. Luke, recalling the great solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, the visitation of the Archangel Gabriel. We've heard it through the announcement of Harold through John the Baptist. Many call him the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first prophet of the New Testament, the greatest of all of the prophets, coming in the spirit of Elijah and also in appearance. And today, on this the fourth Sunday of Advent, according to Matthew's Gospel, we are given the presentation of the Incarnation from the perspective of Saint Joseph, who up to this time is on the outside. Nobody has consulted him with this plan of how any of this was going to come to pass. We know from the writing of this gospel, as St. Matthew presents it to us, Joseph and Mary are already legally married. How is this? According to Jewish tradition, to be betrothed is to be legally bound. It is not an engagement. It is the marriage. And with that betrothal, then the tradition is that woman is kept or stays at home with her parents while the husband goes and prepares a home. For Joseph, being a master carpenter, of course, it would not be much for him to do, but it would take time. In this meantime, a discovery is presented to him. She's with child. He has nothing to do with this. He knows this. But he's got quite a quandary here. He's described in his gospel as a righteous man, meaning he is an observer of the law of God. But he's also a man of compassion. So he's trying to figure out how to deal with this very delicate situation. For obviously, he must know Mary to be an extremely virtuous woman, holy unto God, probably beyond measure in his own estimation, and rightly so. But what is he attempting to do? He's attempting to reconcile the observation of the law with steadfast love. He's thinking in his light, in his mind, well, if I go about divorcing her, then therein the implication could realize her being humiliated and even put to death by the strict observance of the letter. He doesn't want that. We hear this already said. He wants to do something. He wants to do it quietly. And so this is his intention. When behold, in the context of a dream, the angel of the Lord comes to him and clues him in. Now Joseph is receiving an announcement as to how this has come to pass. And before the revelation is given to him, do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary, your wife, into your home. This child is to be the one that will save his people from their sins. You shall name him Yeshua, the Hebrew form of Jesus, which means the Lord saves, or God saves. Matthew is going to great lengths to confirm the miraculous character and origin of this birth. And in order to bring it in perspective for us, he refers to probably what is considered by scholars to be the most controversial passage of sacred scripture. We heard it proclaimed the first reading today. The 7th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, verses 10 through 14, where it was presented to Ahaz, the king of Judah, at a time in which the nation was under great duress. There was an impending invasion. There was the threat of the government being overthrown, this total disarray and possible decimation of the people. So what is Ahaz doing up to the time before Isaiah comes to him with this proposal from God? He is establishing himself in alliances with the pagan nations around him. This is where he's placed his trust. God is displeased with this. I'm among you. Place your trust in me. Go to Ahaz. Tell him, ask me for a sign. Ask me for something that's great, whatever he can imagine. High as the heavens, low as the depths of the earth. It doesn't matter. Tell him to ask me for a sign. And we hear him, his false humility. Far be it from me to put the Lord to the test. How is it to me? Is it not enough that you weary men? Must you also weary my God? This is the word of the prophet. But this sign shall be given to you. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. We are at a point now in this season where we're being invited not merely to look forward to the commemoration of the birthday of the Savior, which that is obviously a joyful thing to think on and celebrate, but it is to be cognizant, to be mindful all the more that God is with us, really with us. He has taken upon himself a lowly human nature to save us, to rescue us from ourselves, from sin, and the wages of sin, which is death. This is the mission. And so here we have it, how all of this is being brought to pass. And Joseph, being who Joseph is, even with this announcement, Can you imagine how his mind must have been turned, just blown away? And from outsiders' points of view, this is a pure scandal. How is it that this man is taking this woman, knowing now here that she's with child? But as it goes, the call of God more times than not calls us out of our comfort zones. It calls us to buck societal expectations, worldly expectations, and to place our trust in the Lord. Joseph awoke from his dream and did what most of us don't do. He did something about the dream. He acted on what he was told. He took Mary into his home, and he gave this child the name God desired the child to receive, foregoing his privilege and right to name the child as he would choose. He goes with God. And this would mark the first of many more times that Joseph would respond to God's prompting and initiative in the context of dreams. And hopefully this echoes in our hearts of another Joseph, the son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. You remember Joseph. He was gifted with the ability to have dreams that would prophesy things of the future. He had a dream about how his brothers and even his parents would do homage to him. Well, they had had enough with him. Remember, the boys, the older sons were out there, go and see about your brothers and bring them some provisions along the way. And remember, the daddy had already given him this beautiful tapestry, this seamless garment, this robe of multiple colors, so brilliant. Here comes that master dreamer. Let's finally do away with him. He's obnoxious to us. They wanted to put him to death straight away. But one of the brothers said, no, how be it? We have blood on our hands. And there was the Moabites or somebody were coming, and they sold him into slavery, 20 pieces of silver. Were they intended for ill? God brought great good from. Because it would happen that while he would, as a being sold into slavery, he would be purchased by Potiphar, who was the head steward of Pharaoh's kingdom in Egypt. And Joseph was recognized as having the gift and ability of interpretation of dreams. Everything he touched, everything he was associated with, prospered by the providence of God. Potiphar noticed this and gave him more and more responsibility until the time would come where he would make interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, which disturbed him. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine is how the interpretation came. Joseph was given charge over everything. And in those years of plenty, he stored up provisions that would be adequate not only for the people of Egypt, but even for the surrounding regions of the world, which would be afflicted by this time of distress. So we look at this person of Joseph, of the house of David. He too has been entrusted with the treasures of God's kingdom that would now be manifest on this earth. The sinless virgin, preserved by the singular grace of God from all contagion of sin, not a touch, and the child that would be born of a miracle, the power of God. A virgin conceiving outside of natural means? How can it happen? This was prophesied. This was told. And when it came to pass, how was it perceived? This is a scandal. Who can take it? What about it? But Joseph and Mary remain steadfast, open, and cooperative to the will of God in everything that we now celebrate has been established for love, the work of love, to seek out and to save all who are lost without exception, to redeem, to restore, to commune with in word and sacrament. And we think that a scandal? What about the scandal of the Eucharist? Do you and I not experience people looking at us sideways? brothers and sisters of the faith who don't believe in the real presence of Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine, after the great miracle is realized, that God would actually give power to men, to priests who themselves have to avail themselves of the sacrament of reconciliation? This is what we are to believe? Yes, we are. Because it's the word and will of God. The power of God is at work in every age and in every generation. It is a scandalous thing to behold. And yet, it is to reveal the depths to which God is willing to go and continues to go to realize this mystery. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let that sit on you for a while. That alone will keep you in an ecstasy if you truly let that penetrate. The God of all creation, visible and invisible, has established himself among us under the appearance of a human nature, the sacramental signs. So ordinary, so simple. Surely this can't be, and yet it is. So how are we to respond at this juncture of the season? How did Joseph respond? With radical hospitality, obedient to the will and word of God, he took his wife into his home and accepted this child, not of his own flesh, but bestowed upon him by the providence of God. He gave the child the name Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord saves, deferring to God the choice of the name, which is above every other name. And with this acceptance, he has fulfilled, he has brought about the fulfillment of the dynasty of David, perduring forever, which God promised David would be. He would have someone of his lineage who would be on the throne forever. So now we hear. Let us not be afraid at this stage of our journeys to ask God for a sign. Let it be as high as the heavens or as deep as the depths of the earth. Do not be afraid to ask God to confirm you in your faith by asking, by showing you a sign. And if we are open, if we have opened our eyes, if we've been receptive to all that God has revealed to this day, then the sign is ever before us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. You came in history to be born in our midst. Lord, have mercy. You come in history to be born in our hearts. Christ, have mercy. You come in glory at the end of the ages. Lord, have mercy. And this must mean something to Matthew, and of course to the church. Because Matthew opens up with his presentation of the incarnation by highlighting and focusing us on the reality of God is with us. God with us. And he concludes his gospel, chapter 28, verse 30, by saying, "Behold, I shall be with you always, even unto the end of the age or the world." God love you.